On a spring day in 1820, a young boy that we all know, we're all familiar with, a 14-year-old boy, went into a grove of trees, and he did something. He did something that we all do, and he did something that changed his life and that can change our, that has changed and will change our lives. And we know the experience, but what he did, to me, I think is really important. He asked a question. He asked a question. And because he asked a question, he got an answer. And to me, what I want to hopefully share with you today is I believe our Heavenly Father wants to teach us about questions. The scriptures are full of questions, of prophets that had questions, of people that were maybe not, that were seeking truth that had questions. But I really believe if you look in the scriptures and if you listen to the prophets, what are they saying? I think they're talking a lot about questions, questions that we have, concerns that we have. And so I hope I can share a few thoughts. And here's what I want to do, if it's okay. There's four things about questions that I just briefly want to talk about. Number one, the importance of asking questions. Number two, asking the right questions the right way. Number three, asking the right people with the right questions. And number four, getting the right answers. The first one that comes to mind, we have five kids, as was mentioned before. And so, and from ages seven, right? Okay. From ages, that's also why she's here, okay, to clarify not just the doctrine, but family issues, okay? But five kids, four boys and a girl. And so you can imagine in our home, because it seems natural, at least to my knowledge, when our children were born, we didn't sit them down at 2 or 3 years old when they started to really talk. We didn't sit them down and say, okay, we're going to teach you how to ask questions. Just go for it now. Be patient with us. Go ask questions. Children, it seems like, at least, you know, and some more than others, okay, Colby being one of them that asks about playing games just about 100 times a day. But it seems like children naturally ask questions, don't they? If you've been around them, you have nephews and nieces. Children ask questions just naturally, and some of them are random, and some of them are, I don't want to say annoying, but they can be over time. But they ask questions. So what happens to us as we grow up, as we live in the world? Sometimes we are a little hesitant to ask questions, perhaps because we think maybe it's because I have doubts or I have concerns, and I don't want people to know that I have concerns or questions. And I don't know if that's what Heavenly Father wanted. I think it's okay that we have questions. That's natural, that we ought to ask questions. So that's the first thought that came to my mind. And then I thought in the scriptures, okay, did anybody ask questions? And you know that they did, but the first one that came to mind was Nephi. Nephi, when he had a challenge, whatever the challenge was, right? One of the first things he did is he went to the Lord. Remember when he was to build a boat? It says he went to the mount, and notice how it says he went oft. He didn't just ask one question and, well, Heavenly Father, you didn't answer me. He went in there oft. I'm sure he said, well, how do you make that tool? What's the size of that board that you want? How, what shape? I don't know. But he went oft, and he asked a lot of questions. And to my knowledge, every time Heavenly Father got a question from Nephi, he answered him. Here you go. I'll see you in another week. Okay, come ask me again. Nephi knew how to ask questions, and he knew, and he was okay with it. He didn't, wasn't embarrassed. Well, Heavenly Father, I really don't know how to build a boat. I mean, I don't. I'm not a boat builder. That's why he asked. And here we are, many of you all of you in college, and different levels and different experiences. And shouldn't we do the same thing? Heavenly Father, I've never been in school before. I've never had this roommate before. I've never had this class. Shouldn't we be asking questions with those things? So Nephi, and another pattern in the scriptures. President Packer taught us that one of the most oft-used phrases in the scriptures is, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Why has Heavenly Father put that in so often? Because He wants us to ask. And He wants to answer us. So that's the first principle, is we need to learn how to ask questions. And if you do have your scriptures, feel free to follow along. But the one scripture that comes to mind that I think we don't read often, because we don't always read the introduction of books, okay? But one scripture that comes to mind is the Doctrine and Covenants introduction. And it's really interesting to me. How do we get all these great revelations in the Doctrine and Covenants? Here's a phrase. These sacred revelations were received in answers to prayers. In times, now listen carefully, in times of need, and came out of real life situations involving real people. Think about the great revelations we have about the kingdoms of glory. Think about what we know about Jesus Christ. Think about what we know about the atonement in the Doctrine and Covenants, because real people with real problems went to the Lord and said, "Help me." And Heavenly Father gave them answers. And He'll give you answers. So we see a pattern. Even in our day, the Lord wants us to ask questions. The second point is asking the right questions the right way. And if I could, we go to Doctrine and Covenants section 121. And you know the story. The prophet Joseph Smith is in Liberty Jail. And it's a horrible circumstance. And many of you know, and Sister Nelson taught us this at the last broadcast for young single adults, when we're desperate, we ask questions, right? When we're really desperate, and it's good to be desperate, because it forces us to go to Heavenly Father and ask questions. Well, in section 121, Joseph Smith is desperate. The saints are being, they're being persecuted. They're being harassed. He's in a cellar, horrible conditions. So what does Joseph Smith do? He asks some questions. Now listen carefully to the questions he asks. Not only does he ask the question, but listen for how he asks them the right way. Here we go. Section 121, verse 1 and 2. O God, where art thou? Have you ever asked that question? I don't think he's questioning the Lord, but he's wondering. He's been there before. And where is the pavilion that covereth thy hiding place? How long shall thy hand be stayed, and thine eye, yea, thy pure eye, behold from the eternal heavens the wrongs of thy people and of thy servants, and thine ear be penetrated with their cries? Elder Scott teaches us, so here we have Joseph Smith in this moment of adversity, asking questions, and the right questions. Here's what Elder Scott taught us. I love this quote. He taught us about asking questions. He taught, when you face adversity, you can be led to ask many questions. Some serve a useful purpose. Others do not. To ask, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer this now? What have I done to cause this? Will lead you into blind alleys. It really does no good to ask questions to reflect opposition to the will of God. Rather, ask, what am I to do? What am I to learn from this experience? What am I to change? Whom am I to help? How can I remember my many blessings in times of trial? Willing sacrifice of deeply held personal desires in favor of the will of God is very hard to do. Yet, when you pray with real conviction, please let me know thy will, and may thy will be done. And I love this phrase. You are in the strongest position to receive the maximum help from your loving Father. By asking the right questions, Heavenly Father can open up to you and give you all that He can give you and all the help that you need. I love that. And then he says, a key to improved prayer is to learn to ask the right questions. Consider changing from asking for the things you want to honestly seeking what he wants for you. We all love Elder Holland, and I wish I could speak like Elder Holland, okay? So picture Elder Holland, okay, saying this, because it's just powerful. When doubt or difficulty come, do not be afraid to ask for help. We can get it. The scriptures phrase such earnest desire as being of real intent, pursued with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God. I testify that in the response to that kind of importuning, God will help. God will send help. And now listen to what he says, where help comes from. From both sides of the veil to strengthen our belief. Notice when Joseph Smith went into the sacred grove, he didn't just go to ask, right? He didn't read the scripture in James 1 and say, go ask. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And here's the phrase. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It wasn't enough just to go ask, but you've got to learn how to ask in faith. And that is when the answers come. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm scared to ask the hard questions. For me, it takes courage to ask questions. And that's why I think I love children, because they're not afraid to ask any questions, right? And sometimes there's some hard questions they ask you, and you say, go to your room. Just find out yourself, right? They ask some hard questions. That's why I love the hymn. And you know this hymn, and I'll spare you. I thought about singing this with you. I was singing one part, you sing the other, and that'd be dangerous. And especially those that have been in my class, you know, right? And that's why you're laughing, okay? But you know the hymn, A Child's Prayer, right? Think about these hard questions. If you're reluctant to ask some hard questions because you're worried what answers you're going to get, think about these hard questions that children sing. Heavenly Father, are you really there? Do you hear and answer every child's prayer? I came up with a list of some questions, and some of them are hard, that I think we, myself included, ought to be asking a little more frequently. And perhaps as I'm sharing these, if there's one that the Holy Ghost wants you to ask me a little more often, I would invite you to act upon it. Here are some questions that I think that prophets have taught us, that we read in the scriptures, some questions. And this would have been a hard one. Imagine the Last Supper, and they're gathering around. The Savior says, one of you is going to betray me. And they look at each other and they say, Lord, is it I? Is it me? Here's another question that I need to do better at. What if we were to go to the priesthood holder, our bishop, our stake president, a home teacher, and say a little more often, can I have a priesthood blessing? What about this one? Because I know you probably don't make two mistakes, but maybe here. Will you forgive me? Instead of holding back, will you please forgive me? This one's going to be a really, really tough one, especially for young single adults. Do you want to go on a date with me? And that's courage. That takes some courage, but it's a hard question, right? Followed by, and we have a recent experience, will you marry me? Now, those are scary questions, right? But we need to ask those maybe a little more often. Not the marry one. Once is good enough. Once is just fine, right? Okay, good. And she did say yes. After I asked her, she said yes, of course. But here's some other ones. Therefore what? What do you want me to learn? I just read my scriptures. I just had this wonderful experience in Friday form or in church and Sabbath day worship. Heavenly Father, therefore what? Who do you want me to serve? What lack I yet? What am I doing right? And here's the one that we don't ask often enough. I really believe this. What am I doing right? Elder Lawrence, last conference, taught us that we need to ask ourselves that question more often. What am I doing right? And he'll tell you. all that you're doing right? What are you pleased with? Where and when do you want me to serve? Now the third point. So we're asking questions. We're asking the right questions. Now we need to ask the right people the right questions. I have a 7-year-old son, Parker. And in the summer, we like to sleep out on the trampoline. And Castledale, and I know this is not a big town, but Castledale is a lot smaller than Ephraim, okay? And it's beautiful because there's no lights to get in the way of things, and there's no stoplights. It's a small town, okay? And it's a wonderful place. And so you can see the stars at night. And so we love to lay out on the trampoline and look in the stars. When I was in college, I took 2 years of astronomy. And I won't tell you why I took 2 years of the same class, okay? You can figure that out, okay? But it wasn't because I loved astronomy, which I did, okay? But I kind of know the stars. I kind of know, you know, the Big Dipper. I kind of know some of the obvious things. And we were laying there, and I was trying to be a really good dad, to really impress him. I said, Parker, can you see the Big Dipper? It's right, you know, I showed him. And now, I'll pause the story there because I'll come back to it. Am I the right person to tell my son where the stars are and how that works? Probably not. But because I'm the dad, I have that prerogative. But I wonder how often Elder Ballard, he was talking to teachers a few weeks ago. He said, often we go to Google instead of God for our answers. Why do we go to Google? Why do we go to our... Now, if you have a good friend or you trust, awesome, wonderful. But we need to learn to go to the right people. There's a great scripture. Turn, if you would, to 1 Nephi, if you want to follow along. In 1 Nephi chapter 16, here we have Nephi. Going back to the story of Nephi and Lehi. Sorry. 1 Nephi chapter 16. Verse 23. Now you know the story. Nephi has broken his bow, so he needed help. And you also know that Lehi had been murmuring. Now he's a prophet. He's been murmuring, and the Lord had to chastise him for it. Look in verse 23. Look at what Nephi does. When he needs help, look for who he goes to. And I'll read this, chapter 16, verse 23. Now it came to pass that I, Nephi, having been afflicted with my brethren because of the loss of my bow, and their bows having lost their springs, it began to be exceedingly difficult. So here we have another trial. So what's he going to do? Yea, insomuch that we could obtain no food. That's verse 21, excuse me. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did speak unto my brethren, because they had hardened their hearts again, even unto complaining against the Lord their God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make out of wood a bow, and out of a straight stick an arrow. Wherefore I did arm myself with a bow and an arrow, with a sling and with stones. And here's what I love. And I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? Now you may say, well, yeah, that's Nephi's dad. He went to his dad. Nephi knew that it wasn't dad he was talking to. He was talking to a prophet. So where did he go for help? Instead of trying to find out what the world says, he said, I went to a prophet. When we have questions, shouldn't we turn to the prophets? Shouldn't our first question be, what are the prophets saying? What do they want me to do? How can they help me? So there's the third principle, asking the right people, even though they may have flaws. Your bishop or your stake president, as wonderful as they are, they make mistakes, but they are called of God. And as you go to them with questions and concerns, they will give you inspired counsel. I'll never forget if I can share this. And I think this was inspired, counsel. When I was dating my future eternal companion, before I asked the big question, our bishop was Bishop Levitt. And I remember the first time going into his office, and I said, and I don't know how the bishops are here, but he had every picture of every youth in his ward. And I went in there kind of with my motives where I need to find a girl to date. And I had already been on a date with Melissa. I'd already been on a date. And so I kind of went in there knowing that she was in his ward. And now I was in the ward. I said, Bishop, can we talk? And I went in there, I looked around, and I found her picture. I said, Bishop, who do you recommend? And he kind of went around. I said, well, what about that one? That was a good question, right? What about that one? And he said, oh, you don't want to let that one get away. And not that that was an inspired question, but do we go to our bishops? Do we go to our state presidents? Even though we may think, well, do they really know me? Do they really? And they do. And they will give you inspired counsel. The fourth thought is getting the right answers. With all this, I'm sure some of you may be asking, I know I did, but what if I've done all these things and Heavenly Father's not speaking? Or what if He gives me an answer that I don't want or that I don't think is the right answer? Please consider this. A couple thoughts when you have that question. Remember Joseph Smith. When he went into the Sacred Grove, he went in to know what church was true. When he came out of the Sacred Grove, he came out with a lot more than what he went in for. So when you go to our Heavenly Father with a sincere heart, with real intent, as Moroni teaches us, and Heavenly Father does speak to you, and He gives you an answer that you didn't expect, and it's bigger than what you thought, or it's harder than what you thought, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Because Heavenly Father had a great work for Joseph Smith to do. And He knew it. And so when you come out of that experience, you'll know that Heavenly Father has a great work for you to do. Because He answered your question the way that He wanted to answer it. As my wife taught me, and she shared with me today as we're driving over, she said, you know, when we go to Heavenly Father, we need to be prepared to act. Because He's going to give us something pretty incredible. And I believe that. The other thought I think that we need to keep in mind is this. And I'm going back to Parker's story, if you don't mind. So there we were on the trampoline, looking at the beautiful stars, and I looked at we're looking at the Big Dipper, and I feel like I was a great parent. And Parker turned to me, and apparently I wasn't. He said, Dad, I don't see it. I don't see it. And I said, well, if you just look over here and, you know, look at it, it's obvious, right? I've taken 2 years of this, son. And you should see that, right? It's the Big Dipper. It looks like a dipper, okay? He didn't see it. But I wanted so bad for him to see it. I said, well, Parker. And he looked at me and said, well, Dad, I don't see it, but I believe you. And my heart just melted. And I said, I just want to give him a big hug. And I wonder in our lives when Heavenly Father, we go to Heavenly Father and say, I don't see it. But wouldn't it be great if maybe when Heavenly Father doesn't answer yet, wouldn't that be great if we say, Heavenly Father, I don't see why the prophets say that. I don't see why I should do that. But I believe you. And I know you'll answer eventually. And trust me, I did. I ran in the house because it was right there. Okay, we're in the backyard. We're not camping, okay? I ran in, and all I had was a Dr. Seuss book. That was all I had. But in the Dr. Seuss book was the Big Dipper, okay? So I went in because I wanted him to have an answer. I wanted him to have something, not just me. And so I ran in and I gave him the book. I said, there it is. And I said, now can you see it? And thankful Dr. Seuss is better than me at teaching my son. But he could see it. Sometimes, and I'd like to go to another scripture, if I might. In 3 Nephi, chapter 26, verse 11. Now, you know the story. Moroni's shown everything. And the Lord's about to tell him the names of the three Nephites. And then there's a pause in the story. I'm sure he had questions. But listen to this. Listen for another reason why, or another answer we may have to have when we get to get the right answer. Verse 11. Behold, I was about to write them, all which were engraven upon the plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbade it, saying, I will try the faith of my people. I wonder how badly Heavenly Father, He wants to answer us. It's on the tip of His tongue. I'm going to tell you, but I want to test their faith. Because I know that's how they're going to grow. That's why they came here. So I'm not going to maybe tell them yet. Unless perhaps you're like my other son, Brock, who is totally different than Parker. He's five. This is his first year in preschool, right? Okay. First year in preschool. And his first day of school, I wanted to know what he learned. I want to know everything. And he came home and he was really excited and said, Brock, what did you learn in school? What did you learn today? And he said, I learned everything. I said, Brock, are you going to school tomorrow? Yeah. So the next day, I came home thinking, okay, he's already learned everything, right? So I'm going to see now what has he learned, okay? I said, Brock, what did you learn? I learned everything, right? And I wonder sometimes maybe we feel like we know all the answers. And we don't. Brock, maybe. But we don't know. So we've got to ask. And so those are four thoughts. And I want to leave with words of prophets. Here are a couple quotes from Elder Holland about asking questions and getting the right answer. He taught us, I would say to all who wish for more faith, in moments of fear or doubt or troubling times, hold the ground you have already won, even if that ground is limited. In the growth we all have to experience mortality, the spiritual equivalent of this boy's affliction, talking about the boy that the father wanted the son to be healed. When those moments come and issues surface, the resolution of which is not immediately forthcoming, hold fast to what you already know and stand strong until additional knowledge comes. He later says in the same talk, when problems come and questions arise, do not start your quest for faith by saying how much you do not have, leading as it were with your unbelief. That is like trying to stuff a turkey through the beak. Let me be clear on this point. I am not asking you to pretend to faith you do not have. I am asking you to be true to the faith you do have. Sometimes we act as if an honest declaration of doubt is a higher manifestation of moral courage than is an honest declaration of faith. It is not. So let us all remember the clear message of this scriptural account mentioned earlier. Be as candid about your questions as you can be. Life is full of them on one subject or another. But if you and your family want to be healed, don't let those questions stand in the way of faith working its miracle. And finally, this is his last quote. Brothers and sisters, this is a divine work in process, with the manifestations and blessings of it abounding in every direction. So please don't hyperventilate if from time to time issues arise that need to be examined, understood, and resolved. They do and they will. In this church, what we know will always trump what we do not know. And remember, in this world, everyone is to walk by faith. And we walk by faith, and it's okay to ask questions. And we've got to ask the right questions. And we've got to go to the right people in order to get the right answers. And they will come. This restoration, this church, began all that you're able to enjoy, all that I am able to enjoy, my eternal family, came because somebody asked a question. Praise to the man that Joseph Smith asked a question. I wonder how many lives will be blessed in your future posterity if you were to ask a question. Should I serve a mission? Should I get a little more active? Should I take institute? What do I need to change in my life? In closing, I don't know in the Garden of Gethsemane what the questions the Savior asked, but I know he's pleading for help, saying, Father, take this cup from me. And in that case, Heavenly Father, by divine necessity, had to be quiet. Not because he didn't love him, but because he had the atonement to perform. And I'm grateful that the Savior, when he's quiet in my life, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Now I've asked some questions in my life. Is the Book of Mormon true? Heavenly Father answered me, yes, it is. It is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, is Joseph Smith really a prophet? Did he really see Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ? I got to know. I'm going on a mission. I'm going to be a dad. Brother Esplin, yes, he is. I bear witness, brothers and sisters, that a loving Heavenly Father answers questions. And I'm so grateful for that. And I leave that witness with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.